CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, beautiful people of South Africa. On a Monday morning, it's the 12th of December, only 14 days till Christmas. I hate to say that because I know that it gets a bunch of people really upset when you count it down, but you know what? Forewarned is forearmed. And you're going to have to go into those shops at some point.
No.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So if I can help you get there, and I can help make it possible for you to save yourself some time, well, it's my job, right? It's the right thing to do.
After this weekend,
yeah.
If somebody gets me a gift voucher, I'm going to say, you know what, thanks. You're smart. Because not only are you less stressed about this gift, it kind of actually works out for me too. Because I walked around, we went to go watch, Daniel and I went to watch a movie in Small Africa Saturday evening.
Okay.
There was a movie she wanted to watch, and you know, we wanted to go watch an IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
And walked into that Mall of Africa, and I instantly felt on edge. But like, not because...
Have you been there before?
The day they were finishing it off, like before it opened.
Oh,
and
okay.
it was a construction mess. Like, I didn't feel like unsafe or anything like that. It just felt like a place you don't want to go to as a human. There is so much going on, all of which is just awkward. Like, just people everywhere and children running, and it's just... Like, your senses are arrested to the point where you actually feel like you're about to explode.
Jeez. Yeah, I don't love a crowded shopping mall. I mean, it can be very scary, especially at Christmas time, and everybody's vying for every cent you've got, and you kind of have to fight for parking, and that kind of thing is what drives me mad. Don't you hate it when you parked your car, and you literally pop in somewhere for 10 minutes, and okay, maybe it takes 15, and you go to the machine, and you think, well, they're not going to charge me for that 15 minutes, and they do. It's like 8, 9, 10 rand. And you just know, like, what you went into the shop for, because the other day I went to fetch a bag that had been repaired. It was like a luggage bag that you take on a plane, one of those little ones. And it needed the handle repaired, so I went in. The parking cost me about 8 or 9 rand. Fetching the bag was free because it was under guarantee. So technically, I had to pay the shopping mall for the privilege of fetching a bag I'd taken to get repaired. You know what I mean? Doesn't feel right, does it? Or am I being pedantic?
No, the thing is, a shopping mall gives you security of enclosing something into a place where you have ease of use.
What? I don't know. I mean, is it... What are they giving you for that 8 rand parking for like 10, 15 minutes? And really, it was that long. It wasn't more than about 10, 15 minutes.
Soft background music.
Is that what you get out of it?
I don't think it actually has anything to do with what they're giving us. It's just about what more they can take after you've...
Right.
Okay, but you willingly go there and spend your money there so that, you know, you can't blame that on them. But you're there, they're going to try and take as much as they can.
Gotta hit it at some point. Look, I've got a lot of my Christmas stuff already done, I'm happy to say. I prepared in advance this year. I got some stuff. You know, one of my overseas trips, I bought a bunch of stuff for family. I'm not buying for everybody. So I've got pretty much all that I need done.
And you know, the thing about Christmas shopping is that it's not like the gifts that you need to give people at Christmas only become available from the 15th of December. No. They're there all year. As humans, we've really got to be smarter as we go forward.
We've got to have much more foresight.
Like, have you ever heard someone go open a present and go, oh, this was you got this in May. I don't want this. I don't want this.
Yeah, like it has a best before date on it.
It's not like you're buying them fruit.
Yeah.
Seasonal fruit.
Speaking of which, I had a little Christmas dinner at my house on Friday night, which was very cool. Ben and Daniela came. And
yeah, it was a good night.
How was your Kwakwa weekend, by the way?
Well, I mean,
you would have been there.
I mean, when Ben talks about, you know, having gone to the Mall of Africa and not wanting to be there, you know, every time I go home, I am reminded how much I actually loathe Johannesburg. I hate coming back here after a weekend at home.
Really? Is that drive back depressing?
So depressing. It's miserable. And then you see that welcome to Gauteng board and you're just like, oh, fuck.
Really?
Back to reality. Yeah. It's just...
The mountains call you, huh?
You know, my cousins and I were sitting at home and we were looking at these mountains and we were actually thinking about ways that we could live there. Like right at the top where it's completely isolated. and my one cousin was saying, no, no, it's not a problem coming down. We'll just build a crane. Yeah, so home is always good. It's always fun.
Yeah, but you know what? Also, it's like going anywhere beautiful or anywhere that really feels special to you. If you're there the whole time, it becomes routine.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with the place that you live in, even if it's only the place that you live in because you work in that place. It becomes your routine, and routine is boring, and routine is uninspiring, and routine isn't very beautiful.
Yeah.
I suppose that's what it boils down to. But, yeah, so I had the dinner party at my house on Friday night, which I kind of wanted to start a new little tradition with friends, because you spend a lot of time at Christmas with family.
Mm.
You know what I mean. And, yeah, you spend the 24th, 25th, 26th, usually with family, and you get to do all those kinds of things. There's a lot of food. There's a lot of being around each other, all that stuff. And, you know, we don't do the religious stuff, obviously. So it's really just spending a lot of time with family. I just love the fact that we all give each other something, which is just, you know, it's just a generous time of year. There's Christmas music. There's just something special about it. There's the tree. There's the decoration. For the kids, it's really cool. They just love it. And I probably have not grown that as a kid. Like when I was a kid, it was my favorite time of year. And it still is. So I do like it. I love the Christmas music and everything else. And last night, we had our own start to the festive season with Cliff Central Carols, which went very, very well. It seems that we really had an incredible, incredible lineup. They all did an awesome job.
It's an incredible music show that was.
You really liked it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben and Daniela came to that as well. So you guys really did have a busy weekend. Sure.
Did the amateurs rank well with the actual professional singers, Ben?
Not at all. But it wasn't about the quality of song, more about the presentation. But the thing is, like, those three from Idols were something else.
Yeah.
Like, you know when you got talent, but then you add stage presence on top of that?
Yeah.
And I don't know if Bushido was there, but there was this rowdy group of girls in the front left of the audience. And at one stage, I thought those guys were going to leave shirtless. It was like Friday night.
Really, they were having that big a time?
Jeepers, the screaming and the shouting, it was quite something. Yeah, Bushido smiling, she must have been there.
I'll tell you what, Tara and Teboho and Noma were just exquisite.
Yeah, incredible.
And also, you know, Alan Ford and Timothy Molloy did a great job.
Yeah, actually, yeah, Alan was really good.
As
one of the amateurs,
Ford.
Alan Ford
was on form.
He was on fire.
He says to me backstage, I don't know if I've still got it. So I asked him, go, Al, you know, you're singing with Timothy Molloy. How badly could it go? No, but Timothy sings all the time. He sings for a living, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so he went out and he was very good. They were both very good. And you know what? With the Soweto Gospel Choir there, you actually can't go wrong. They are so fantastic. So for a lot of people who were there last night, the Christmas season has begun. And we raised some money for Headway, which I'm very pleased with. Because it's that time of year where you kind of want to give back and you want to be generous and you want to be nice. And you give money to the guy at the traffic lights and you give money to the parking guard. And even if you don't have a whole lot, you share what you got, you know? And that's kind of a nice thing to do, too. It just feels right. And they say there's no such thing as an unselfish move. Well, if it makes you feel better to be nice to someone, then that's how you get your selfishness in it. Your selfishness is, oh, I get to feel nice about being generous. Sounds terrible, but it's actually not terrible at all. And don't blame yourself about it. So Vuyisa says, once the parking is free, it will always be full. Check Joburg Central until they started charging. Yeah, you see, maybe that's a good point, Vuyisa, but then where do all those people go who would have parked for free? Do they walk? You know, I...
But isn't parking always full anyway?
Well, this time of year...
Regardless of whether it's free?
You better believe it. This time of year, it's terrible. I had to go into Santon because there was a place that was inside of the mall that wasn't even a shop. I wasn't going shopping. This is about 3 weeks ago, so it wasn't even peak Christmas season traffic. I had to park in a part of Santon I've never been in my life. I could have been in Rosebank, for all I know. And I walked and walked and walked. So, yeah, it always feels like it's full.
I mean, that's part of the anguish of going into a big shopping mall is you're thinking, oh, finding parking is going to be such it's going to be such a process.
And then finding your car afterwards. If there are a lot of levels and they all look the same, you know what I mean. Shiv says, morning, guys. Holy hell. I started watching Narcos this weekend. And by started, I mean a season and a half in a day and a half.
Yeah, that's one of those shows.
When you binge watch something like this, do you ever feel like you get so immersed in the plot that you almost feel like part of it? Or is that just me?
No, that's a lot of us get like that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're going through a really terrible time in your life and you get into a series, it sort of takes you away a little bit. It allows you to escape completely. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Are you on my page on this? Because I remember I got into a couple of series while I was just taking some strain. It was either earlier this year or, you know, last year or whatever. And when you're into it and you suspend your own life for a second and you get into the lives of the characters in this show, and sometimes it's very dramatic, and sometimes it's very dangerous, and sometimes it's very scary. And suddenly, by comparison, because you're always doing this as a human, you're seeking patterns. By comparison, you look at your life and go, oh, okay, I shouldn't be complaining that much. I'm not being chased by dragons, or you know, I'm not being eaten by cannibals, or any of that stuff. So it's kind of a fun way to get out of your own life and into someone else's, whether it's a character or the whole show. Hey, Flaxie, how are you? I see him wearing his super dry shirt this morning. North Shore. What's happening, man?
Come, let me get to a mic.
Go to this one. Here we go. What's happening?
Oh, what a love. Oh,
just the microphone with my mouth.
Oh, heavy. Oh,
disgusting.
Sit fire to it.
God knows.
Hepatitis. Cold sores.
Getting
TB.
An STD from that for sure.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, might as well. Kiss like a
whooping cough. You're finished now. You're on your way out. That was the last time you'll hear Michael Flax, everybody.
2016's been rough, but this is the end. Yeah.
I can see it growing already, actually.
Yeah.
And a little
a little cold sore.
And I think there might be pus oozing out of it already.
No, you can just put an open flame to it right away. You might actually be right.
Come here, let me burn your face.
Yeah. Okay. Just light it up. Paraffin and a lighter. That's what we need.
So, how was your weekend?
So, we started celebrating Christmas in my house.
Uh-huh.
You see, we do Christmas differently because...
What do you do?
Yeah, well,
I don't have to, Jewish.
Yeah.
You don't do Christmas. So, I don't have
to
buy...
Liz is into that stuff.
I don't have to buy, like, everyone gifts. I don't have to think about anyone but my girlfriend.
Okay.
So, we just do gifts with each other.
But can I tell you what? That's the best way to go. Because you can buy one person one really nice gift and you don't have to stress about everybody else.
So, we got world's smallest Christmas tree. I mean, this thing's probably as long as my leg. But
can
it's
it
like...
Can it go on a tabletop?
Yeah, it can go under a fridge if you want it. It's so small.
It's like a Lego tree.
But, like, we've done it up nicely. So, you know those... There's a word for it. What are those Christmas ornaments? Isn't there a word for them?
I don't know. Decorations. I don't know what
they're... Yeah, there's so many
different types. I was going to say condiments, but I know that's wrong.
No.
Yeah.
So we go and we buy special ones. So, like, if we're in a memorable place, like at a memorable market on a nice night, we'll try find one to remember that night.
Yeah, so that everything you put on your tree is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, anything we had from around the world or something like that. So we're only doing gifts this Friday. Because this Friday is a public holiday and Liz really wants to go all out and make like a meal and like prepare the whole day and everything. But there was one gift which she couldn't hide because it was too big. And it's something I've always been wanting. So I got to open that on Friday night. She got me a gas braai. And I've been wanting one for ages.
From Black Friday you wanted that.
That's right. You were going to go and shop for it when they dropped the prices. I'm glad you found it.
I had a braai on Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Nice.
It took me like the whole of Friday to build this braai. I think it took like 2 hours.
Is it one of those things on a tripod or? Oh, no.
It's a proper, legit 3-burner gas braai.
Do you have the bottle as well that you have to attach to the?
Well, I had one in the house from having a gas heater.
All right.
But then I was starting to stress, like, you leave this gas braai outside. What happens if this bottle gets struck by lightning? Like, surely there must be something in this bottle to stop it getting struck. Because if this thing gets struck, it's probably about 50 meters away from me.
Well, I don't know that that's ever happened, but if it did, you'd know one thing for sure. God really hates you.
Because everyone... I mean,
for him to aim for the gas bottle, that's pretty damn mean.
Everyone has their gas bras outside. Yeah. I've even noticed, like, people who have their stoves that run on gas inside, their bottles are outside. How are these things not getting struck by lightning?
Do you know, I'm kind of thinking about whether or not... Because a lightning strike is so much electricity. It's such a high amperage of current that I think it would just burn everything up instantly before it could even escape from the gas bottle. I think it would just melt the bottle.
Yeah, I have two theories. Either it will heat the inside up to a point where it explodes, or on impact the thing just explodes.
I don't know that it'll even have a chance to explode because it won't even have a chance to expand. It'll just cook it all and turn it into something else.
I wouldn't even know. We've got to get a firefighter on the line and ask them.
And I don't know that that's ever happened, but your paranoia is probably justified.
Yeah, no. There's definitely a percentage of it happening, but it hasn't happened. And let's pray that it doesn't happen.
Well, it won't happen to you. Don't panic.
Yeah, so Christmas is off to a good start. I'm digging this Christmas.
Very nice. All right. Cool, Flax. Sounds good. Sounds like it's festive over there.
Go get the lips into.
Yeah. Quickly, before you... Yeah. Book an appointment with the doctor right now.
That might be the last time he's allowed in the studio this
and
year.
And the pathologist. Ugh. You don't want to know. Like, there's so many people doing shows here now that you actually don't know who's on at what time. You don't know when things are happening. You don't know when, you know. And people cough and... it's all going down. So, just to remind you, because there are still some people who are confused. Our show, the Gareth Cliff Show, will move back to cliffcentral.com and we'll be on the Cliff Central app from... January the 9th, when we come back from our holidays, and Touch Central will have a brand new breakfast show.
So as of when we come back, in the morning there'll be a Touch Central breakfast show.
Got it.
With unknown personality.
We can't tell you who that is yet, because it's still very much in the works. But it's exciting. I'm very excited about it. But, you know, it's also because I suppose... our show, we do a lot of talk in our show, and really most of Touch Central's music. So we don't kind of fit in with that scheme of things. And we did want to do a six-month kind of transition period, and we feel that's come to an end. So it's time for touchcentral.fm to be the music channel and for cliffcentral.com to become the talk channel. And then you can choose whatever you like to listen to and listen to it. And we'll be like sister radio stations, like sister online stations. It'll be fun. All right. Berenice says, what a finale. Thanks to everyone who joined us for Cliff Central Carols 2016. And she loved it, by the looks of things. And a couple of other messages coming through. Romain has just sent a picture of someone in a Santa Claus outfit. I just can't see who it is. Let me just see, because these pictures... Ah, it's Bill Cosby. He knows when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake.
Oof. Whatever you do, don't sit on that Santa's lap.
Well, I'd just like to give you a little gift. Here, have a handful of pills. Imagine. All right, when we come back, we will hit the news, the sport, the money, everything you need to know for a Monday morning. Get your week off to a good start. Hopefully.
Download the Touch Central app from Google Play Store or iTunes Store. Touch Central FM.
Yeah, January is tough. It's the Monday of months, but it could be your second Christmas. That's if you enter the Russell Hobbs Rush. They're giving away 350,000 Rand in cash. They're also giving away 4 trolley dashes where you could grab as many Russell Hobbs appliances as you could fit into your trolley in 30 seconds. To enter, just purchase any Russell Hobbs appliance between now and the 15th of January. Visit russellhobbsrush.co.za and submit your details, or follow Russell Hobbs on Facebook and Twitter for competition updates. Make a dash for it. And why don't you just do both? Go to russellhobbsrush.co.za, submit your details after you've bought a Russell Hobbs appliance, and follow them on Facebook and Twitter so you can be up to date with what's going on there. I mean, who doesn't want to win? Especially in January, when you know everybody's got no money left and they're ready to empty out their bank account and go and hide in the mountains, like Mubs was saying. Well, they've probably emptied out their bank account by the end of December. Then you have to go and live in the mountains because you can't afford the rent. So at least you could get some Russell Hobbs appliances for free. And who wouldn't want their share of 350,000 Rand either?
Touch Central. Amplifying your HD radio experience this summer.
Keep my hands to myself.
It's Selena Gomez and Hands to Myself. Very nice. Isn't that a happy start to your Monday morning? I mean, she's busy with her hands all to herself.
Well, sometimes that's just how you start the day.
For some people, it's a great way to start the day. Yeah, I don't have any complaints about it. We don't have time. None of us have time to do any of that when we get up in the morning. Please. It's dark. Who the hell has the time? Yes, Flex, what's up? Hang on, let me just put on his mic here. He's back in his... Whoa, wait, I'm coming to you now. Just give me a second. There we go.
It's crazy to think that Selena Gomez is 24 years old. Uh-huh. Just 24 years old. Uh-huh. She's got this entire career behind her.
Yeah.
Yesterday, she signed a deal for $10 million to be the face of some luxury brand at 24 years old.
Can I ask you something? Can you imagine the pressure of her being 24 years old? She's already done... She's been a TV star. She's been a music star. She's dated Bieber. At 24, she would have done what most people are still aiming for in their lives, right?
Yeah.
The pressure is, like, she's got to keep it up there or improve it every time. Must be exhausting.
See, I think because she's been in it for so long, like, since she was a tiny child, like... That pressure is sort of a norm, so she doesn't even feel it as much as if I was to just jump into a $10 million deal and become the face of this.
Maybe, but at the same time, I think there's extra pressure on her.
No, definitely.
Because people are going to keep telling her, well, you already reached your peak in your teens. You're on your way down. You know, that's pretty horrible. Let's get into some news. The news brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Mabali Moloi with the latest.
All right, so there's been a lot of talk about fake news recently, right? And last week, we were trying to figure out whether one particular news story was real or not.
Yeah.
Or whether there's some or other kind of confusion around it. Well, the Education Department are now refuting claims of this 20% pass mark for mathematics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Department of Basic Education says continued media reports that they have decided to change its progression policy for maths to 20% are unfortunate and misleading. The department says there is no such thing as a 20% pass mark for the subject, and there has been no change in procedure. It says the minimum pass rate for mathematics between grades 7 and 9 remains at 40%. The department added the current policy states that even if pupils pass all other subjects with distinctions but get less than the threshold for maths, they fail the year. And according to the department spokesperson, he says they are now reviewing this rule because it has been unfair to those who do not want to pursue maths from grade 10 onwards.
Well, I think maths should be compulsory. I hate to say it, but I really think that mathematics teaches you far more than numeracy and arithmetic. There are subjects like trigonometry and geometry and algebra and calculus, and these have to do with basic patterns of logic. And I feel like logic is probably what's most needed in the world right now. People just don't have a logical approach to things. And it includes me, by the way. I'm not saying I'm immune to this. Do you know what I mean when I say, for example, a lot of people don't understand cause and effect? Like they do something and then they're not sure why this results from it. You know, they'll blame it on something extraneous. Or they have an emotional response to something rather than a logical or an arithmetical response to something. Does that make any sense? Logic. There's not a lot of logic. Like if you turn into oncoming traffic, which you see people doing, that's because they're not very logical.
But I mean, haven't some of these people done maths anyway? And they're still not logical?
No, I don't think so. That's what bothers me, is that I think logic and reason and common sense are all missing from the equation. And maths is the only subject at school that gives that to you. Just a thought. I don't know. But I'm glad to hear the department say it's not 20%. right?
No, they're saying that the minimum pass mark is 40%. It remains 40%.
So who made this up?
My guy, I don't know.
Mubs.
I don't know how these things happen.
Yeah, somebody's got to be responsible for this, right?
But the thing is, it wasn't just one story.
No, there was a whole
government
bunch of news
people were quoted. Every news network ran the story. A selection of people actually quoted and elaborated on the reasons.
It doesn't sound like...
And now all of a sudden they realize like, it looked like a bunch of doers, so now they've got to retract it.
Well, I'll tell
well,
you something.
This doesn't sound like a retraction. This sounds like them all out blaming somebody else.
Yeah. I think these news networks ought to be embarrassed. If it turns out that this is not the government department stuff, they've got to go back to those people who said it to them and ask them for a proper explanation. People can't say one thing and print another. Fake news. It is everywhere. What else is in the news?
Well, I mean, it would seem just a horrible state of events in different parts of the world, Gareth. We'll begin on the continent, where in Nigeria, at least 100 people were killed over the weekend after the roof of the Rainers Bible Church collapsed on Saturday.
Mm.
It's believed that construction workers of the building were rushed to finish the structure in time for a ceremony of the parish's bishop to be ordained. And so, just, you know... Again, far too many times you hear stories like this, and then you try and find somebody to blame. But then for the family members who remain behind, it's too late, because what does blaming somebody do? 100 people at least were killed in that incident. And then in Egypt, 25 people died in a bomb blast at the Coptic Cathedral in Cairo on Sunday during a church service. This includes 6 children who were among those killed in the blast, with mostly women, mostly women being injured by the explosion. And so our president just sent out his condolences to those two nations. And then if we head on over to Turkey, bomb blasts killed dozens near Istanbul's Besiktas Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey declared a day of mourning after blasts, possibly targeting police, killed at least 38 people, injuring 160 others.
Well, there's a bunch of things that I've got to say about this. The first one is that obviously this church disaster in Nigeria is just awful, but it isn't the first one.
Mm.
You know, and clearly there is no control of business, of a building and construction in Nigeria. It just seems that whatever you want to do, whether you mix concrete and river sand, or you mix concrete and silt, or you mix concrete and stone, there don't seem to be enough engineers looking into why these things happen. And look, we've had bridges collapse in South Africa. We've had problems. It happens all over the world. But in Nigeria, it's happened way too many times.
Well, if these allegations are true, that they were rushing the project, it sounds to me like there were a lot of shortcuts also being taken.
Hey, the other thing I've got to say about that is that clearly these pastors or these people who own and run these churches are in a hurry to make money. So they build up these churches in a rush. They want to get as many people in as possible. And if you've seen some of these churches, they are enormous. Because all of these people are going there to hopefully get their lives better than what they are. And they have the roof collapse on them and they die. It doesn't seem right. And as for Egypt and Turkey, well, here we go again. It's very sad. What can I say?
What more can you say?
This is such awful news for people just ahead of the festive season. Or, you know, a time of year where, obviously not in Egypt or in Turkey, but it's a time of year where everybody's winding down. And I suppose for Christians, it's an important time of year. So in Egypt, that Coptic Cathedral was just ramping up for Christmas. And whoever blew them up, it's just ungodly. There's no way to describe it. You just have to be the most awful, evil, wicked creature to do that to a bunch of whether they're women and children, it doesn't matter to me. You killed people. That can't be justifiable in any place, any time, anywhere, and to any god, frankly, if you're into that kind of thing. You can't claim to represent anybody but wickedness if you do stuff like that. It seems obvious. All right. I mean, what a start to the day, what a start to the week with those stories. But we have to pay attention to them because it's the world we live in. That's the reality, I'm afraid. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. Maybe you can cheer us up, Ben.
Yeah, well, my top story was a bit sad. the Blitzboks came up a bit short against England. They cruised through, well, their group stages. They did well in their playoffs. They beat Wales. They beat New Zealand again.
Yep.
And they really should have had the better of England. Now, England beat Fiji, which was the big surprise in the quarterfinals. And, well, the plucky English, they held on for a 19-17 win. Pretty frustrating how things ended, though. The Blitzboks managed to get down to 7 against 6. The dodgy English guy got yellow carded. And all they need to do is just put the ball through the hands, run around, dot the ball underneath the post. But unnecessary skip passing, that kind of crap. They only managed to try in the corner, which then gave the kicker an almost impossible kick from the side, which he went on to shank.
Right.
And 19-17. But because Fiji finished only 5th, the Blitzboks did get more advantage over them. So we all know that once everything comes down to the end of the season, it's going to be either SA or Fiji. So still good, valuable points gained there. In other rugby news, Sari made some changes on Friday. You know, like, it's the worst year ever.
What happened?
Okay, so these guys, they don't have any money, right? They're about to record a massive loss, one of the biggest losses I think they've had as a business.
Well, that tends to happen in sport when you keep losing.
Yeah, when your product is shit, you don't really have many people to buy it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking to make sweeping changes. Some of them are pretty positive, though. I mean, this whole thing of picking a coach and picking a CEO, it's only going to come down to the executive board, not your basic bog standard board. Unions are now going to be able to be privately owned up to, I think, about 73% or something like that. Which means that actual people with brains and business acumen will come into these setups. Not just some fat, bloated guy who played under 15B prop and then had nothing else to do in life, so he just basically weaseled his way onto a board. So it does look more in... Sorry, 74%, there it is. So it does look kind of more impressive, but what I always believe in, if there's something that's been so terrible for a whole year, maybe a couple of years, something so terrible, that these guys are so desperate, why has no one been fired? So we've got the same horrible, useless people running, albeit a slightly improved structure, but no one's been fired for this.
No, this is South Africa, where if you do a really terrible job, they have to pay you to leave.
Yeah.
You don't get paid. You don't get fired. You don't get humiliated. You don't get taken in front of the crowd and the shame bell rung and have fruit thrown at you. Mm. No, you actually get paid to leave. They say to you, look, please will you go? And you go, no, because that's what people do here, like Prof Maguve.
Yeah.
You stick around until the bitter end, until eventually they're threatening you with jail. And then eventually, maybe, you jump off the boat. But in these guys' case, you have to pay them to leave.
Well, also, speaking about being paid to leave, there was no mention of Alistair Garcia just yet when all these people got around on Friday. But tomorrow will be D-Day on that one. But the thing is, he can't go anywhere because Saru haven't got any money, right? For Alistair Garcia to go, they've got to give him 13 million rand. Then they've got to pay off the coaching staff. Now, he's got this whole coaching staff, and they've all got jobs too, and they've all got contracts. So it's going to cost so much money to tell Alistair Garcia to piss off, so it's not going to happen either. So
he's around.
Yeah, they are so tired, they can't do anything with that. It's frustrating, it really is, but at least they've actually... this desperation has at least set in, and they've gone, okay guys, we need to actually try to get some money.
Do something,
so we've actually made these little changes. So it could be a good thing going forward. And, you know, on the back of that coaching in Darwin, which I'm pretty sure had some impact within the Super Rugby structures, they had a conditioning meeting as well. These are all things that haven't happened in the past. So if anything, we can only be slightly better. Yeah, there was my touch of optimism for the morning. Sundowns, unfortunately, did not
do... So well disguised as pessimism, though.
Yeah, well...
It really was.
After the year I've had, Gareth, you're lucky I'm still here. And the FIFA World Club Cup, which is, for some strange reason, so difficult for me to say. Sundowns, they lost to the Kashmina Antlers. The Savage Antlers won 2-0. Sundowns let them in with a goalkeeping error to go one down, and then they were just... comprehensively outdone with the second goal. So Sundowns now go on to play Joanbrook Hyundai. And whoever wins that finishes 5th. Which essentially means nothing. Although it's a nice payday. When you keep playing this competition, it's great. So now the other team's going to the semi-finals, where basically everyone runs around Real Madrid and gets pictures with Ronaldo. That's for the rest.
Is that what happens?
That's pretty much what it is.
Okay.
But in better news, Cape Town City have their first silverware. I told you they were favourites going into this one.
You did.
They won that one 2-1.
They've only been around, 6 months or so?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's it. Mpumalanga Black Aces, now known as Cape Town City. They went on and won that one 2-1. Well done. Big, big silverware thing there.
Very nice.
So it's a really great start for this team. You know, despite the fact there was existing players and structure, all that kind of stuff, to be in a new team and a new place, a new home, I really hope this does bring football to the Cape as well. because basically people in the Cape historically only care about rugby and cricket. But it's a really cool vibe. They get the Cape Town Stadium going as the Sevens show of the weekend. That Sevens Stadium is just incredible. The whole Cape Town Stadium is just incredible. Mm. Really cool vibe. And other football news, Arsenal beat Stoke 3-1. That's 14 matches unbeaten now. Leicester, out of nowhere, were awakened, and they beat Man City 4-2. Hammering of Man City there. Sunday's games saw Chelsea win 1-0 over West Brom. That's their ninth win in a row. Even Man United won this weekend. Jeez. They beat Spurs 1-0.
What a turnaround.
Yeah. Huge, huge result there. Could have been more. Pogba was a bit unlucky here and there. And then Liverpool, well, that's hard to disappointing for them. West Ham, they were third from bottom prior to this game. Really just horrible. I think they lost five in a row. And they drew Liverpool 2-2. So Liverpool losing valuable ground on the title contenders here. Chelsea, they stay on top. Another news for the weekend. It was another good one for Chad Leclos and Cameron van den Berg. They just keep winning in these world short course FINA things. In cricket, England, they woke up this morning, decided, screw it, we're not into this anymore. And well, look at their tail. 2-6-0-2-2. Rolled out by India for 195. They had lost that one by innings and 36 runs. Virat Kohli, after England scored 400 in the opening innings and they felt quite chuffed with themselves, Virat Kohli just said, you guys are crap, I'm amazing. He went on and scored 230-odd. So that is it, 3-0. That series is all done and dusted now. And England, well, they probably go back to Dubai because they like to party and just chill out. They don't like to be in sweaty India. So before this test, they decided they're going to have a little break in Dubai.
All right.
And then they're going home for Christmas as well. And Virat Kohli was just saying, this is bullshit. When we go to England, we've got to stay there for like 3-4 months. You guys just go here, there, everywhere. But what does it show? It just shows England aren't focused. They've lost the series 3-0. One match still to play. But they don't care because they've got lots of money. And they don't need to worry about anything. In golf...
That's where money is the opposite of a motivator.
Yeah. Well, especially with these guys. In golf, Sam Brazel. No one knew who this guy was going into the tournament, the Hong Kong Open.
I still don't.
Previously, he not even had a top three on the Asian Tour. This guy, as a professional, has never ever won a four-round tournament. He won the Hong Kong Open. He beat a whole bunch of incredible stars, including Patrick Reed, Danny Willett, Justin Rose. So the biggest payday of his entire life. He was 480th ranked in the world. He's not going to be much higher than that. Really incredible story, that. And, Gareth, that is pretty much it from the weekend.
Thank you, Ben. We'll have some more sport later on and some more news later on. It's time for the money with Anthea. That's coming up next. For those who work, live, and play the night shift, get ready for a little company. My Night Shift is a brand new show on Touch Central. It's weekdays between 6 and 8 p.m. It's hosted by some of South Africa's biggest names. Hosts Tall Ass Mo, Nomza Mombata, Tim Modise. Each will salute a different night shift throughout the week through a series of interesting interviews, trending topic discussions, the latest music, and much more. That's My Night Shift, weekdays between 6 and 8 p.m. Zero rated. For the whole MTN family. Anthea, next. It's The Mac with Nevada featuring Mark Morrison. She's here, everybody. It's time for Anthea and the money. The money shot. The instrumental version. We were hoping Mabali would start singing, but she's not in the mood today.
How would I sing Anthea's song? If anybody should sing, it's Anthea.
Da, da, da. All right, everybody.
She was hard for the money. So hard for it, honey.
Yeah.
She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Here she is. Good morning, Anthea.
That was just the acceptable level of atrocious.
Yeah, well, it has to be. Have you ever heard Anthea's song done well? Only Donna Summer does it properly.
Indeed.
Okay, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Very good.
Good. How's our money looking this
week?
Yeah,
I know. We're having a good run, hey?
Oh,
so
thank
it looks
goodness.
Like the Santa Claus rally has started already.
Excellent.
Early start. That's very nice. So the market
jingle
is up.
Jingle bells.
0.75% on Friday. Industrials had a good run. Naspers outperformed Tencent in China. So Tencent was down. Naspers was up about 2%. So that's good to see.
Because how did that happen?
Well, just sometimes we have a bit of positivity. And actually, Naspers is trading at such a discount at the moment that I can see why traders would want to be buying it. I don't know, if I didn't have so much of it, I definitely would be buying more of it.
Okay.
And in fact, one of our listeners asked us about the investment thesis for Naspers and whether we should be buying And I would say absolutely. You know, at their last results, year on year, they in constant currency, they grew by 11% in the first half of the quarter. I mean, there were a couple of issues, like the development spend was up 42%, also in constant currencies year on year. So that's quite difficult. But generally speaking, you know, they're focusing on these online classifieds. They're tending to now, what's the word I'm looking for? They're almost monetizing their previous investments. So they sold off Allegro a while ago for a nice profit. And then they've also, they're still building. So they've acquired Avito. They've grown, they've merged with Ibibo and Letgo, which is like a competition for Craigslist in the U.S. And you know Craigslist really haven't gone anywhere. It was all very exciting in the beginning, yeah. But now it's kind of going nowhere.
Right.
So DSTV, the paid TV stuff, not doing so well in sub-Saharan Africa, which is a shame. But then 18 out of the 23 businesses, kind of like the private equity style businesses that they've invested in, finally turned a profit. So yes, the investment case for Naspers is still very much intact, and at these levels, like fill your boots, basically, I would say.
It's a sale. It's a deal. It's one of those Christmas specials.
It is a bit, actually. And then financials did quite well on Friday. Resources were under a bit of pressure. The index was down 1%. Big news on Sibanye Gold, unfortunately. The share closed 15% down.
Oof.
I know. And this is because they announced that they were buying a mine in the U.S. or a company in the U.S. called Stillwater Mining.
Uh-huh.
And Neil Froneman, the CEO, basically, like you've got to like his logic, because he said, actually, the political environment in South Africa has caused the commodity shares to trade at a significant discount to their international peers. So he can do one of two things. One, he can change the political environment, which, quite frankly, I think it's hard to do.
Nobody
he realizes
do that.
That, right? Or he can improve exposure to high-quality assets in the rest of the world, which is exactly what he's done. So the market cap of Sibanye Gold is 26 billion rand, but on Friday, it actually fell below that, and they need to issue or they need to raise capital. So that's why the share's fallen, because they're obviously going to increase their debt to earnings, or their, I should say, debt to EBITDA ratio. In fact, they've said they're going to have a 2x net debt to EBITDA ratio, which implies that they're going to raise $1.3 billion in debt. And they've said they're going to do a rights issue, in other words, issue more shares, to the tune of $750 million, potentially even $1 billion.
Would that mean, if you thought that Sibanye was a good business, if you thought the fundamentals were in place, would that mean that this might be a good time to buy them?
Yeah, I think so. So there's a couple of issues.
And you normally don't like gold shares.
No. I'm not sure that Stillwater has the synergies that Neil normally looks for in other companies. So, you know, when he's been acquiring in the past, he's bought companies or mines at a discount and then brought them into his portfolio so that he can extract synergies. I'm not sure it's the same with Stillwater. So he already said that actually the existing management company in Sibanye don't have the skill in mechanized mining that they need at Stillwater, so he's going to do what he needs to keep the management team there going. We do have an exposure in hashtag invest in the aggressive portfolio of 3.5%.
Just so even the Hardy does approve of that. They love that.
Yeah, so I'm counting on Neil's a good, Froneman's a good operator. I think it's going to be a bit volatile short-term leading up to this rights issue.
Okay.
But yes, we're betting on it again.
Can I throw this question in from Stephen? He says, morning, Gareth and team. Please ask Anthea about Aspen. All my shares are performing except for Rhodes and Aspen. I understand the Rhodes scenario, but Aspen should be trading at around 320 randish.
Yes, so Aspen was one of my top calls in November when I had to do a presentation, and it's been very disappointing. They did have an issue in Venezuela where they wrote down the entire business, but that's now completely out of the books. It's a difficult one. I'm not sure why the market is not liking it at the moment. I love it. For me, it's one of my top picks. So it's like the Steinhoff experience we've had recently, where I love it, the market doesn't agree with me. But you know, I'm always reminded that the market doesn't doesn't know that I have a spreadsheet and I put in these numbers and I've decided that the share price should be in
$300. The market doesn't care about you.
They don't care about my spreadsheet. So I think it's a bit of a sentiment thing, and I'm just going to have to be patient.
All right.
As you are, Stephen.
All right, so Stephen, just hang in there. You wouldn't do anything with it, though. You wouldn't sell or buy. You just
no, I'm buying.
It.
I'm a buyer.
Oh, so you would want
I'm
more.
An absolute buyer.
Oh, okay, yeah, Stephen.
At these levels.
Then Anthea says you're on a gold mine. Just sit there. All right.
Indeed. And then we had somebody ask us about, or email me, and ask about taste holdings. And it's because we spoke about Starbucks last week, I think. Dudley says, I was watching Morning Finance News program a few weeks back, and they were discussing Starbucks as a company to back. He says, it makes sense that they should grow in South Africa and worldwide over time. I see they are part of Taste Holdings. What are your thoughts regarding investing with them? So when I talk about Starbucks generally, I talk about the offshore portfolio, and I don't think that South Africa has the coffee culture or the footfall required to make Starbucks great, like an absolute no-brainer kind of share to buy. So Taste Holdings did bring Starbucks to South Africa, but they also own Domino's, Fish and Chips, Zebra's, NWJ, and Arthur Kaplan Jewelers. So it's kind of it's a company that sits in that middle to lower LSM bracket, and I think it's a consumer that's under a lot of pressure at the moment. The last time Taste reported interim results, their revenue increased by 9%, but their operating loss widened by 32%. So they don't pay a dividend. It's a company that's cash-strapped. It's a company it's a loss-making company, you know. Would I be buying Taste Holdings just to get exposure to Starbucks South Africa? No, I'm afraid not.
Right.
So sorry, Dudley.
Bad news for them.
Yeah.
Indeed. Anthea says, not now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Their time will come, though. That's right. What it is, you know, if they get it right, if they operate properly.
Now, can I ask you something about hashtag invest? Because people ask me questions and then I'm in no position to answer some of them because I'm not an advisor and I don't want people to think that I am. When it comes to getting into the market, when it comes to buying your first share portfolio, putting some money into stocks, is there a perfect time?
No. So, unless you have a crystal ball, there is no way of timing the market. People always do that. They go, oh, it looks like things are difficult. Should we be out of the market? But even in 2008, even Warren Buffett wasn't out of the market. Even he wasn't sitting in cash. And it's impossibly difficult to time. So, I know you got asked this question last week, right? So, what happens if you put, like, our clients, if they now invest in hashtag invest, and we have a 2008?
Yeah.
What then?
Yeah.
So what if we don't? Like, then you miss out on the rally. So, like, let's just look at it. You can slice and dice the market timing any way you want to, but just for convenience. Let's look at it from 2000. If you'd been invested in the market from 2000, the year 2000, to 2008, you would have made 300%. So that's all right.
Hello.
Eh? Then came 2008, huge crash, market goes into depression, and our market falls in a couple of months 46%. So now nobody wants to fall, like, their portfolio to decline by 46%.
Mm-hmm.
What if you hadn't been in the market then? Actually, if you'd stayed out of the market, you would have then missed out on another 200% rally. So between 2000 and now, the market's up 530%.
Jeez.
And could you have timed it? And that's even with the 46% crash in 2008.
Wow.
Exactly.
Perspective is everything.
There you go.
And
okay. So the downside, I guess, is that if you had to retire in 2009, you'd been saving all your life, come 2008, 2009 crash, and your portfolio suddenly 46% less than it was a year ago, you'd be upset about it, and sure, that's not great. But if you'd waited 2 years, the market would have been back to that exact same level pre-2008. And when you retire, nobody withdraws all their money at once.
Yeah.
So I get it. And that's why we've designed four portfolios. So we've designed a portfolio that is all bonds. So it's safe, it's yielding. And the idea there is that if you're closer to retirement, then you just get, you know, it'll just be steady. It's capital preservation kind of very much top of my mind when I'm looking at that portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll probably receive your interest every year. Maybe at this stage, it's about 7-8%, right?
All right. So that's the safer one for people who need a kind of income.
Safe income going forward, who don't want to lose their capital.
Got you.
But if you want to be invested in shares, then we've got the aggressive or the growth and income portfolio, or balanced portfolio as I call it. And if you've got time, then these are the kind of returns you can expect. Your 530% over whatever, 13 years or so may it be.
And who doesn't want that? That means for every rand you get?
530 times.
Just to explain to them. Okay. You know, that's fairly significant increase. And of course, if it does go down, then you do stand the possibility of having that 2008 40-something percent decrease.
Imagine it goes down and you withdraw your money and then you miss out on this 200% rally. Like, what are you trying to do?
You just got to sit there. Consider it a lifelong passion project.
Or a very long-term one.
Certainly. I mean, you know, if you don't need that money right now, and there are some people who don't, you want to invest it, get in now.
But it's the little bit. And if you don't invest your money, you know that your money is worth less because there's something called inflation.
Yeah. That's it. So if you just have cash under your mattress,
On average,
it's going to become less valuable.
In that 2000 to now period, you would have lost 12% per annum. So every year, your money is worth 12% less. So I'd rather be in the stock market and I'd rather be invested than sitting with cash under the mattress.
Thank you, Anthea. You've helped me explain things.
My pleasure.
Anything else you want to throw in?
No.
That's it.
That's
enough homework for us for today.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets on a Monday morning. 7:05 is the time. If you are busy and you've got things to do and people to see and places to go this morning, keep it on touchcentral.fm, cliffcentral.com, and we will keep you company.
Download the Touch Central app. Central app from Google Play Store or iTunes Store. Touch Central FM.
CliffCentral.com.